So I think learning to trust ourselves is the most important thing we will ever learn in this lifetime. Learning to trust that inner genius and that God and that divine spirit that is coming through you and only you, because we have a code inside. So one of the things I've learned is that when I change my relationship to myself, I change my relationship to the universe. And what that means is when I stop judging myself and attacking myself, then I can hear a loving spirit, right? Because love only speaks through love. So I want to play with that today, because you cannot judge and hear guidance at the same time. You cannot judge and hear inspiration at the same time. So together, if we can, I want to create a safe space that we are starting over to invite the spirit into this time. So that it's not just me talking to you, it's us co-creating together, right? We're holding an energy where that spirit can come through. And part of what that is you're going to practice not judging yourself. You're going to practice not judging someone else. You are definitely going to practice not judging me. That is the most important practice. Let's get that straight. Right? And then we're going to invite that spirit here. So the question I'll start with is asking us, like, what stops us from hearing an inner voice? What stops us from hearing that voice within us? Because we know we have this genius. We know we have this love. We know there's something else, but we're not always hearing it. And I always say that if you're not listening to the love inside you, you're listening to someone else. Right? So who are you listening to? Maybe you're listening to the culture, the media, your family, who knows, right? If you're not listening to your divine genius spirit, you're listening to somebody else, right? So for me, I was listening to my mother. So many of you may know my backstory. Many of you may have heard me tell my story about myself. But I'm going to tell this again because it really is the beginning of everything on my journey, right? And so I knew when I was young that I wanted to write. I took creative writing in high school, and we read Catcher in the Rye, and I fell in love with it. And the creative writing teacher was gorgeous. So I was like, oh my God, this is a sign. This is definitely a sign. Right? And so I went home to share this phenomenal news with my family that I think I found my calling. But I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, to an Orthodox Jewish family. Yes, yes, right. Who would roll over if they saw where I was right now? And so when I went to share my fabulous news that I found my calling, I wanted to be a writer, nobody said Mazel Tov. There might have been an Oy Vey, but there was definitely not a Mazel Tov, right? My mother said something like, you're going to write? You're going to write? You're going to starve, you're going to write. And that was the go for your dreams talk. That was it. And then my mother, being a practical woman, said something like, what? You can't get a job? You'll write on the Sundays, right? The reasonable path. And how many of us have followed that reasonable path? Right? Exactly. Like, we stayed practical. We stayed safe. You know, don't do what you love. Don't do what moves you. Don't do what spirit is asking you to do in this moment. Stay safe. Be practical. Listen to somebody else. Right? And what I'm going to tell you is the safest thing on the planet that you can do in your lifetime is listen to the one love that's coming through you and only through you, because this is a sacred, individualized path. But I didn't know any of that back then, and I went off to law school. And squelched that dream, went off to law school, got accepted to Harvard Law School, graduated with honors from Harvard Law School. Yes, you can do wonderful things if you're terrified. Yes, you too can destroy your life. My mother bragged in every synagogue for all she was worth, you know. Oh, my little girl, I don't want to tell you. Let me tell you. Again. And you may have had a situation like that in your life where you're doing the right things. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're doing what everybody else says is successful, but you don't feel okay. And it doesn't feel right. Because if you're not listening to your heart and your soul and your God, it's not supposed to feel right, right? So I was on partnership track at a major law firm, and I was dying inside. I felt really hollow, and I felt really scared. And thank God, a friend of mine at the time, because I just thought something is really wrong with me, you know, like what's wrong with me? And, you know, I really got depressed. And thank God, a friend of mine at the time said, think about it. If you've been this successful doing something you don't love, what could you do with what you love? Bam, right? Bam. That changed my life, right? And I decided you get one life, and I want to know what happens if I dare to follow the voice of love inside me instead of the voice of fear. Because I'd followed the voice of fear. So I left everything without money, without a plan, blah, blah, blah. And I will tell you, all these many years later, I have now published 5 books, and many of them are bestsellers. Yeah. And I have had the privilege of coaching and teaching thousands of other people to unlock their inner genius. And it's amazing. So what I want to talk about today in learning to trust yourself is 3 things that we're going to talk about. One is following your breadcrumbs, and I'll talk about what that means. The second one is seeing yourself differently. And the third one is undoing any belief that is in the way of you loving your life right now. Right? So the first one is following your breadcrumbs. I teach this to all my classes and my students. You can't plan an inspired life. You're not going to plan it. Have you noticed that? You keep trying to plan it and figure out what you're doing. And spirit doesn't work that way. Spirit gives us moment by moment. In this moment, you might have a breadcrumb. In this moment, you might be guided to do this or to do that. That's how this works. It's moment by moment following those breadcrumbs. So I'm going to share a story with you. Again, some of you may have heard the story. It's my greatest miracle. So it's the one I got. So I'm going to share it. And it was, for me, about following breadcrumbs. So when I left law, I spent 12 years writing my first book. I spent 12 years writing my first. That was not the miracle, by the way. That was not the miracle. And I always share that I spent 12 years doing it because sometimes people get depressed hearing that, thinking, "Oh, I'm not going to her workshop." You know, like I don't got that kind of time. No, thank you. But I always tell people that because it's really that it took me 11 years to believe in myself. And 11 years to believe in this loving divine presence, and 11 years to believe this actually works, and 11 years to do it, and 1 year to write a book, right? So I always tell that because if you are going through something where it's taking a while, it feels like it's taking a long time, it feels like you should be getting there or you should have gotten there, please keep in mind, this is not a linear path. We're not on a linear path, we're on a spiritual path. And a spiritual path is a path of transformation. So much is going on for you. You are shifting your consciousness. You are opening up to a different paradigm. We're the ones who are inviting a different presence into the world. It's not linear, right? So we're doing so much all at once. So please be a little easier with yourself that way. So when I finally finished writing the book, I thought, I don't know how to get this published. I don't know what you're supposed to do, right? So I researched commercial publishing and self-publishing, and I asked my inner voice, what am I supposed to do? And I got a voice that said, just put it in the river. Just put it in the river. Isn't that pretty? What the hell does that mean? It's like, you know, it's hard enough to hear guidance. It's like, now we have to do guessing, you know? And I'm thinking, I live in Denver, first of all. There are no rivers in Denver, you know, like it's like, a, you know. But I knew kind of intuitively it meant to self-publish the book and put it into the stream of life, you know, and if it's supposed to go somewhere, it would. But I was terrified of that answer because it was like, I don't know anything about marketing or distribution or how you do this or printing. And now I have to put my own money into this. It's like, oh, it's always the wrong direction. Have you ever noticed that you're asking for guidance and you're asking for guidance, and then you get something you really don't want to hear? It's like, Can I get a second opinion? Can I get a lucrative opinion? You know, like some lucrative guidance. But anyways, I decided I was going to follow it because I'd spent 12 years following this inner voice. And here's the deal. The second you decide that you will follow this voice, that you will trust this voice all the way, the second you decide you will devote yourself to it, you're going to meet the most judgmental person. 3 seconds later, you're going to meet that judgmental person, right? Because you're believing now, right? So I don't know why, but I went to an ex-boyfriend's house for a Passover dinner, and I sat down next to this woman who was like my mother on steroids. And she's drinking bad wine all night, so she's getting free now, you know? And she's starting to go, so you're going to publish a book, and you know nothing about marketing, and you know nothing about distribution, and you're putting your own money into this. You're very ambitious, which is code for you're a nut, you know, get away from my kids, right? And so I'm thinking, what do I tell this woman, right? Like, what do I tell? Do I tell her, oh, don't worry, I have a plan. I'm going to put it in a river. I'm going to put it in a river, yeah. Do I tell, oh, don't worry, I've been hearing an inner voice. It's really nice. Because you know how, like, in rooms like this, we pride ourselves on that. You know, in rooms like this, we're so proud that we're hearing an inner voice, we're following it. You get around somebody normal, right? Not so much. Not so much, right? So I started doubting myself again, right? I felt like an idiot, right? Do you ever have that? You're believing in something, you talk to someone, and then you feel like an idiot, right? And so I just doubted it, but here's the thing. This is what learning to trust yourself is about. It's that choice point. What voice are you going to follow inside yourself? Thank God I listened to God. Thank God I listened to that voice in my heart, that voice in my spirit, that little nudge, and I did it. I self-published it, and I put it into the world. All kinds of things started happening, but 4 months after I self-published that book, I got an email out of the blue that said, your fairy godmother has arrived. Your fairy godmother has arrived. Now, if you get an email like that... You're going to think it's spam, right? You're going to open it up and it's going to be, Russian girls are waiting for you. You know? There's money for you in my kingdom. Just give me your social security number. Really feel called to give you all this money, right? But I opened it up and it actually was an email from a vice president of marketing and publicity for Random House. Yeah. And she was somebody who had been struggling in her career and had been searching on Amazon, and she somehow found my self-published book, This Time I Dance, Creating the Work You Love, my first book. She found that book, and she wrote to me and said, this is the best book I've ever read on finding your calling and on doing your dreams, and I want to help you get it to a New York house, which to me was like saying, I want to help you meet God. Right? And so she did. She got it to the publisher of my dreams, and they bought the book. And they bought the book exactly the way that it was. Amazing. Thank you. They bought it exactly the way. They didn't edit. Like, they edited maybe 10 sentences out of the entire book. Right, as an unknown author, right? And they kept the purple print because I didn't know what I was doing. I like purple, you know. They kept the exact title, right? As an unknown author, I would never have started off at that level had I followed a conventional path. Had I followed what you're supposed to do and what everybody tells you you're supposed to do, but I followed that inspiration. And that's what I want you to know, is that when you follow those breadcrumbs, there is an inspired path for your life. There is a code and a path in your life, but it is following those breadcrumbs, right? So the second thing I wanted to talk to you about was seeing yourself differently, right? And so for me, when I was first writing Learning to Trust Yourself, which is my new one, and I'm going to read something from it, I was asking my spirit, what am I supposed to write about, blah, blah, blah. And I kept hearing this voice that said, I need you to be the beloved. I need you to be the beloved, right? Which is beautiful. And I started fighting that. So, because that's the way I do spirit. So I'm going to read you just a section on this, and maybe you'll try on you being the beloved. So years ago in a meditation, I was crying out, how do I reach you? What am I supposed to focus on? I got this message back from the diamond cave of my interior world. I need you to be the beloved. Be the beloved. Say what now? I knew I was being asked to take my casual interest in faith and self-actualization and go deeper, go truer, and go all the way. I knew I had to start walking forward without self-doubt, to trust in the radical love of an energy I couldn't fathom, but I could not deny. The call is coming in, apparently. Direction is coming in as we speak. I knew it meant I needed to trust myself and my life and allow it to unfold in a way that showed me I was guided and that I could trust. Second-guessing myself wasn't helping me. It was time to stop telling myself I was ineffectual. I had the edge that gave me every advantage. I wasn't limited to the perception of my reptilian brain. I possessed this secret river within me, a current of deep knowing brilliance, an energy sourced in limitlessness. I command powerful faculties. Ernest Holmes says, "The life of the spirit is my life. All of its strength is my strength. Its power is my power." Part of me railed. How is believing in a loving universe realistic? There is genocide, racism, blue algae in the lakes of my childhood, and corrupt politicians, and global warming. And on a personal level, I had someone drop out of a class, which goes to show the universe hates me. And yet, even as my inner tantrum spewed cynicism and a few truly unnecessary comments about a certain muffin top situation developing, I felt peaceful, like when you know you've lost steam for an argument. Really, once you touch the truth, it's non-negotiable. I knew what I knew. I knew there was an unbearable love in this world, and I wanted to serve it. I didn't need to know the name of this mystery because I knew the certainty. I also knew that when I felt love, my doubts disappeared. Be the beloved. I knew what this commitment asked. I would listen to my instincts more than to my defenses. Yes, there was a part of me that doubted, but there was a part of me that did not. There was a part of me that knew I was here to thrive. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I always get nervous reading, so I'm always happy when that's done. So again, what if you knew there's a part of you that does know that you're here to thrive? There's a part of you that doubts, but there's a part of you that does not. And I think that's the work we're doing. So we're going to see ourselves differently as we're not alone here. We're connected to something else, right? So the third thing I want to talk to you about is undoing any belief that is in the way of you loving your life. Remember, yeah, I know. We'll be here a while. We'll be here all night, apparently, for some of us. So, you know how I said in the beginning of this talk that if I'm judging myself or I'm judging my life, I can't hear spirit. I can't hear a loving voice if I'm saying not this, not this, not this, right? And so we want to start looking at the beliefs that might be in the way. Because, you know, you are not having an issue with the events in your life, the circumstances in your life. That's not the problem. The people in your, well, maybe the people in your life, I don't know. I don't know. But that's not the problem. The problem is the interpretation, the conclusions we draw about things, the beliefs we have about things. That's what's getting in our way, right? And even science has proven that if you have a belief, what the brain does is it literally goes out and it looks for the evidence to match that belief. And so that's all it's doing, right? It's on the mission to find all the evidence, right, to match the belief that you have. It's blocking out anything else. It's blocking out any other possibilities. So I started doing this work myself, and I started noticing I had a belief that wasn't really helpful. I had a belief that always said, I never get what I want. That was the belief I had, like, I never get what I want. It wasn't conscious. It was subconscious. It would always come up like, I never get what I want, right? So, like, so somebody would cancel plans on me or something, and I'd be like, see, I never get what I want, right? I never, you know, a product wouldn't be in the grocery store. It got discontinued. Oh, see, I never get what I want. You probably know this story by now, right? You could probably fill it in, right? And so it was constantly, I was always focusing on, I never get what I want. I wasn't looking at all the places I was getting what I wanted, right? I was always looking at what I didn't get, right? I never get what I want. So I started looking at where did this belief come from? And I remembered a moment in my childhood when I was walking in a department store with my mother, and I saw these red shoes. And there was something in my heart that just leapt up, like, oh, I need those red shoes, right? Like, it was just like, I was a little girl, and I was just madly in love, like, oh, my God, I want those red shoes, right? But I was with my mother, and I knew my mother's a very practical woman, and there's no way I'm getting those red shoes, right? Because I knew she was probably going to go, the red shoes. What do you need with the red shoes? Oh, look, the green elf shoes. They're on sale. They'll be perfect. You will love the green elf shoes, right? So that's what I was expecting. But she actually said yes. And I got the red shoes. And it was amazing. And I'm watching, like, the heavens are opening for me. And they're wrapping it up in the tissue paper and putting it in the shopping bag. And I'm, like, so excited. And then my mother lost the shopping bag. Thank you. Exactly. Exactly. Right? So I didn't get the red shoes. And so my little heart was broken, right? And I think as a little girl, I made the decision to say that one disappointment, I was going to see that all throughout life. And so I decided I'm not going to want anything. I'm going to tell myself I'm never going to get what I want. So I'll protect myself from being disappointed, right? But you don't realize that those beliefs are getting in the way of everything, because the universe is giving us 1,000 chances and 1,000 more, but we think we're protecting ourselves with these beliefs, but it was getting in the way, right? Do you want to hear the kicker of this story, the amazing kicker of this story? Years, she's sitting on the edge of her chair, man. I love it. Love it. So I finally, a few years later, talked to my mother about this story, right? And she looked at me and she said, what are you talking about? You know, she said, you got those red shoes. And I'm like, yeah, I know we got the red shoes, but then we lost them. And she's like, yeah, we lost them. And then I called the department store. We went back and we got them. I did not remember that at all. I did not remember that at all. And you know why? Because I remembered my belief. I remembered the belief. I did not see reality. I only saw my beliefs, right? We're doing the same thing all the time. You're seeing your beliefs. You are blocking out everything else, right? A Course in Miracles teaches that we are here to undo the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. That's all we're here to do. Undo the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, because love is always here. The miracle is always happening, but we're not seeing it because we got an idea about it, right? So that's what we're practicing. So I guess what I want to tell you in conclusion is that your soul is amazing. There are infinite possibilities in you. You are here to learn to trust that inner genius in you. There is so much power in you. The love in you is amazing. Your soul is extraordinary. Your beliefs, they're not so hot. They're not so hot. Let's be real. They're not so hot, right? But don't worry, because your whole life is here to help you undo those beliefs. Your whole life is give you situation after situation after situation to do that differently, right? And so that's what I'd love you to focus on, because let's face it, we are living in a world of tremendous change right now. We're living in a world of tremendous change right now. But I deeply believe with all my heart, I think we're the answer. I think all of us are the answer. I think those of us who are transforming our consciousness, we're the ones. Right? You have so many dreams inside you at any age, at any capabilities. You have so much desires inside you, and those desires are God-given, Spirit-given. We're meant to give our love to the world. This world needs our love. And so if you're feeling just a tiny bit guilty because maybe your stupid self-judgment is getting in the way of the freaking power of the universe to come through you, then good. Because I decided, you know what? I've done the inspiration. I'll do Jewish guilt. I'll do whatever gets us there. Because when you trust yourself, everything is possible. And I think you're amazing. I think we're all amazing and we rock. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you.